This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Bonnie North. Milwaukee Public Schools have dealt with financial challenges for years. As state aid and property tax levels have fluctuated, enrollments have dipped, facilities have aged, and competition has come from a variety of places.
A new report out this morning from the Wisconsin Policy Forum suggests that storm clouds may again be on the horizon, even as the district's new interim superintendent works to avert painful cuts in the MPS budget for the coming fiscal year. Rob Henkin is president of the forum, and Ann Chapman is senior researcher. They spoke with Mitch Tyke about the outlook for MPS and the challenges they identified a year ago.
So last year was certainly not an easy budget for MPS. There were cuts of dozens of positions and certainly some severe budget pain. The good news, however, last year was that there were still a few budget maneuvers that had not been fully exhausted. And in using the term maneuver, Mitch, I don't mean to imply fiscal irresponsibility, but there were some surpluses from healthcare from previous years. There was some still ability to divert some property tax levy from the construction fund to school operations. Furthermore, because there had been additions to school budgets over the previous two budgets, when cuts had to be made in 2018, they weren't quite as painful because you were essentially cutting things that had been added in previous years. We warned, however, that all of that was going to run out and that if the trends that we were observing of stagnant or declining revenues along with rising healthcare costs continued into 2019, that 2019 was going to be an extremely difficult budget year, and that is indeed what has happened.
Well, and 2018 came on the heels of two what you would describe, I gather, as outliers, 2 years where things were actually in pretty good shape.
Yes. And again, it stems from some significant changes to healthcare benefits that both came about because of prior collective bargaining agreements, plus, of course, the enactment of Wisconsin Act 10. Not only were they able to see some unexpected healthcare savings in terms of the magnitude, but also the wave of retirements caused by Act 10 produced a positive fiscal benefit because they replaced older retiring teachers at the high end of the salary scale with new teachers at the lower end. And so those factors really provided some relief over a couple of years. So we had a couple of years of budgets that weren't so bad. Unfortunately, and one of the points we make in this report is that I think people sort of lost their eye on the ball and that the need to really still acknowledge that there were some deep structural challenges and consider some deep structural changes sort of fell by the wayside for a couple of years.
Well, and so let's talk about these deep structural challenges and the kinds of specific pressures that have come to bear in the 2019 fiscal year. Your budget brief points to six keys to understand what's going on. And honestly, I think the best way to understand is to go through each of those. So let's talk about, first of all, the kinds of revenues that the school district has to work with and the situation the district finds itself in as far as those revenues go.
Sure. So the main source of revenue for school districts all across the state and for MPS is property tax and equalization aids, and those come from the state. And the two of those combined make up what's called the revenue limit. What happened this year was that there was the state kept the revenue limit flat. So to the extent that equalization aids might have gone up, property taxes have to go down. And that's in fact what happened this year. So the vast majority of the way they get funded was relatively flat. It actually went down a little bit.
So to maybe oversimplify things, when we see that just because state aid goes up doesn't mean that overall aid goes up.
Yes. And that's it's a specific source of state aid, but it's the largest source of state aid. Yes.
Well, and so how big a role does that issue play in the financial situation that the district finds itself in?
Well, the main thing that is important to understand there is that revenue is driven by enrollment. So even if the revenue limit stays flat, that doesn't mean total revenues stay flat. So if enrollment goes down at MPS, the overall largest portion of their aid also goes down, and that is also what happened.
And so what we're looking at right now is a situation where enrollment has also gone down.
Yes, and there's a three-year impact when enrollment goes down. So the bad news here is that not only are we seeing the impact of that in 2019, but we'll continue to see the impact of that in 2020 and I believe in 2021 as well.
So budgets for as far as budgets go, the enrollment data today impacts
next year's per pupil revenue.
You mentioned the what people have termed the flexibility caused by the changes under Act 10. There's been some restructuring of employee health care costs and other benefits. Where do things stand as far as that goes?
So and this, Mitch, is something that we have observed in Milwaukee County, City of Milwaukee budgets as well. There's no question that the combination of Wisconsin Act 10 and a recognition that healthcare was such a big driver of local government and school district budgets. And it's hard to – again, I don't want to say that some of these changes would or would not have taken place with or without Act 10. But clearly, the combination of those two allowed many districts and many local governments throughout the region to make some pretty substantive changes to the healthcare benefits and realize some very substantial savings. The problem is that those are short-lived. So unless you want to go back and change your fringe, your level of healthcare benefit for your employees year after year, you're not going to continue to reap those savings year after year.
We've talked about this in terms of Milwaukee County's budget. A fair amount.
Exactly. And so, so you get an immediate benefit. If you use that benefit wisely, you can stretch it over a few years, which is what MPS did. They actually used that the benefit of these savings to invest in some new strategic initiatives and so forth. But again, now they're faced with a situation, and we've already had this debate at the school board level. Can they afford not to reduce their healthcare benefits given the magnitude of this challenge in their budget, but at the same time, can they afford to reduce them given the very intense marketplace for talent and their need to retain and attract high-quality teachers really comes at odds to this fiscal imperative to reduce healthcare spending.
Now, you talked about it in fiscal year 2018, there was still some ability to transfer some of the property tax dollars from construction to operating costs. Where does that stand for 2019?
For one more year, at least, the district, again, is going to continue this practice. So this is essentially the distinction between capital and operating. And obviously, MPS has lots of school buildings and facilities that need work, that need major maintenance. In an ideal world, you're putting $15 to $20 million into major maintenance every year, and you're using $9 or $10 million of property tax levy in that amount. A couple of years ago, they took the tax levy out. They replaced it with some borrowing proceeds. They had the opportunity to borrow at a very good interest rate, and in fact, I think at no-cost borrowing in a couple of different areas. And so they, in turn, used those property tax levy savings from the construction fund to contribute to school budgets, which was an effective strategy for a couple of years. But there comes a time when you can't – your level of borrowing runs into trouble, and so you want to put that property tax levy back. For the 2019 budget, they're not doing that yet, but this may be the last year that they're going to be able to continue that strategy.
Well, and where does enrollment come in this? Because there are clearly some buildings that are not as full as they used to be.
Right. So the district actually had a study done to sort of look at their facilities use and how efficiently they're using their buildings and facilities. And this long-range facilities study found that it's overall the district is under-enrolled. Now, there are some bumpy areas where some areas are over-enrolled. Some schools are overcrowded and other areas or schools are undercrowded. But overall, there's a huge amount of the facilities that are not being used. And so, in essence, what's happening to maintain those facilities is the district is spending a lot of money to support students that are no longer there.
In terms of being able to alleviate that particular issue and realizing that you're not necessarily making recommendations, but one of the things that could come to bear in future years is some kind of consolidation?
The way the district talks about it is it could come in a number of forms. It could be consolidation. It could be, consolidating, refreshing, and sort of reconfiguring the way the schools are set up, repurposing some of the buildings to use for other things to have better efficiency. And that would take a huge amount of investment. And on top of that, it's not just about reconfiguring the facilities to make them more efficient. the condition of the facilities overall is very problematic. And the assessment of just bringing the schools up to a very sort of modest average of a good rating is millions of dollars.
So reconfiguring is not the magic bullet or the silver bullet that takes the construction needs down.
In terms of the short term, no, because of the upfront investment that may be required. Over the longer term, however, you know, certainly if you can reduce your footprint, you're going to reduce your ongoing maintenance needs, and you're also going to reduce some operations costs in terms of the cost of heating and cooling buildings, et cetera. But Anne's absolutely correct that that's going to require some upfront investment that would be a major challenge, and it doesn't necessarily reap huge savings right away.
What about in terms of positions? You mentioned there were some job cuts last year. The current budget calls for more job cuts, dozens of teachers and administrative staff. What kind of impact do those cuts have on the, you know, kind of long-term fiscal health of the district?
So in this budget, the district cuts 147 positions. Most of them, they are in the school buildings. So 125 of those positions are in the school buildings. And that includes about 80 teachers and a number of educational assistants. And so that is a way of being able to balance this budget, although they tried to spread the pain across administrative positions and school-based positions as much as they could. So that's going to affect class sizes a little bit. And just the overall school budgets, they're going to have to squeeze a little bit more this year.
Also, there are some cuts to essential services as well.
Right. So total cuts is 147. Okay. 125 of them were in the schools. And
whatever the remainder is.
Right.
We don't have to do the math right here. But so let's talk about what the upshot to all these, you know, six different areas is as far as the sustainability goes when it comes to MPS budgets. Where does this put MPS when we look at 2020 and the years beyond?
When we look at the long-term picture, and MPS has itself laid out a five-year forecast, and we continue to see this gap between the projected growth in revenues, and in this case, for the next 2 years, they're actually expecting additional declines in revenues, and these expenditure pressures. If healthcare goes up by the projected 7% per year, that's millions of dollars of additional money that they don't have because their revenue streams aren't increasing that they need to ostensibly come up with for healthcare. So something has to give there. Obviously, the priority among all MPS stakeholders would be that to the extent that you have to make budget cuts, so that you're doing those in ways that aren't going to impact teaching and learning in the classroom. So to the extent that you could modify your approach to providing transportation services, which is something that the administration has proposed, but something that admittedly causes real impacts to hundreds of students and their families, to the extent that you can find ways to reduce the cost of healthcare without necessarily impacting your ability to retain and recruit and be fair to teachers. These are things you want to look at first. But I think one of our overriding messages here is that the problem is of such a magnitude that we don't see any way going forward that cuts to teaching and learning can be avoided. And indeed, they're not avoided in the 2019 budget either.
And presumably those kinds of cuts impact enrollment going forward as well.
Well, that's sort of the vicious cycle, is that here's a marketplace, a very competitive K-12 education marketplace in Milwaukee. We've described the extent to which enrollment drives revenues, but revenues drive enrollment. And so if you can't make the investments you need to make in your human capital and in your facilities, how are you going to boost your enrollment and get yourself out of this vicious cycle?
So once again, as you pointed out in the 2018 brief, heavy lifting is required.
I would say, again, there are no easy answers here, and we are already observing a highly contentious, and understandably so, debate among the variety of MPS stakeholders of where to go. Our unfortunate message is that again, there aren't easy answers here. There needs to be some collective, collaborative, long-term planning. The issues need to be laid out not only for the stakeholders, but for the community and for legislators in Madison. And we all as a community really need to come to some decision here as to whether this structure needs to be fixed going forward or whether, for whatever reason, we're going to take some other approach to K-12 education in Milwaukee. I don't know what that other approach could be. You know, we still have a system here that's educating 76,000 children per year. But again, this needs some realistic long-term fiscal planning to at least lay the options and the consequences on the table, and then we can go from there.
Rob Henken, Ann Chapman, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mitch.
Ann Chapman is senior researcher and Rob Henken is president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. They spoke with Lake Effect's Mitch Tyke about the forum's brief on the 2019 Milwaukee Public Schools budget.
The interview took place before some adjustments to the budget were made by the district's interim superintendent. The brief notes that a budget crisis may have been averted for the current year, but the longer-term outlook remains dire.